Praise the Lord. Dear friends, today we focus our attention on the last beatitude. According to the normal count, the eighth beatitude in the Gospel of Matthew. And this eighth beatitude is followed by another saying of Jesus that somehow sums up that beatitude and focuses attention on a particular reality. And this beatitude is presented also in the Gospel of Luke in a similar way as Matthew. First, let us read the biblical text and then we'll make some reflections on this particular beatitude. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the Matthean version. The first part follows the same pattern as all the other seven beatitudes, as a kind of universal truth, general statement. Blessed are those who are persecuted. So this is a general statement as in the other, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Similar to the fourth beatitude, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So we have seen what righteousness means. First, it was a desire, the deepest yearning of people for righteousness, the commitment, the dedication for righteousness. Now Jesus is speaking about the consequences of that yearning, dedication, that is persecution. Those who are ready to suffer persecution for righteousness' sake, for justice. So from this general statement, Jesus focuses attention in the second part to the disciples. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. So it was the beginning of the fifth chapter, the Sermon on the Mount. And after he sat down, the disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and he taught them, saying. So he was speaking to the disciples. So now these disciples are addressed in a very specific way. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. So the disciples are addressed and they are promised great persecution, suffering, rejection, ridicule from the part of the people. And all these on account of Jesus, on account of the kingdom. A similar beatitude is reported also in the Gospel of Luke. We have already seen several times the Lucan version might be more original than the Matthean, whereas Matthew might have somehow interpreted, the Matthean church may have interpreted the beatitude and clarified it in various ways. In the Lucan version, we come to the last beatitude in this way, Luke 6, 22 and 23 verses. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. So you will be hated, excluded from the society, as you will be cast out something unclean like lepers on the account of the Son of Man. And we know in the gospel tradition, Son of Man stands for Jesus. So the disciples will be excluded from the community. They will be persecuted. Their name will be tarnished. They will be despised, defamed. And now, what are they to do? Are they to weep? No. Rejoice, Jesus says. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, as if you have received a great present. For surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. So Jesus is telling the disciples what to expect. And they are put on the line of the prophets. The prophets who came before them were also treated exactly like this. Because they spoke the truth, because they bore witness to God's plan, they were rejected, they were condemned, they were despised, and they were excluded from the community. So when you face such a fate, don't be surprised, Jesus is telling. Be happy, exuberant, shout and leap for joy, as if you have received the greatest prize, reward that you could ever expect. Because your name is in the kingdom. Kingdom of God is yours. So it is something that's already taking place. In the very moment of persecution, when you are put under suffering, when you are rejected, when you are ridiculed, in that very moment, rejoice because you are experiencing God's love in this way. It's a strange way of experiencing love indeed. Now we could ask the question, why is it that the disciples of Jesus are being persecuted? Why is it that Jesus promised them only this? Why are the Christians rejected? Why are the Christians persecuted? And why are they kept as an object of contempt and despise? It's nothing strange. It has been throughout the entire history of Christianity. And it started with the very founder of Christianity, Jesus Christ. We know the symbol of Christianity is the cross, with or without the figure of Jesus. The cross has become a symbol of Christianity. A cross that was a symbol of punishment, of condemnation of the criminals, and the worst criminals indeed. The runaway slaves and the rebels, people who are accused of high treason, betraying the king and the kingdom. They were the people who were put on the cross. And Jesus, the founder of Christianity, is the person who was crucified after a trial in a provincial court of the Roman justice. Pontius Pilate, the procurator to Palestine, put Jesus on trial. And finally, even though it is said he did not find anything wrong with this person, still he handed over him to be crucified. And on the top of the cross, he put the verdict, the condemnation, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, meaning that this Jesus is accused of sedition, accused of rebellion, or subverting the order in the society, fighting against the king and the empire. So Jesus is put to death as a rebel leader. And he had two rebels on both sides. And we know, following the history, that Jesus was not a rebel. He never took up arms against any empire. He did not want his disciples to take up arms. Of course, he said once, "Those who have no sword, let him sell the tunic and buy a sword." And Peter said, "Lord, we have two here." But then later, when Peter wanted to use it, Jesus said, "Put your sword in the sheath, because whoever takes the sword will perish by the sword." And he was telling, turn the other cheek if somebody strikes you on the right cheek. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Not hate your enemies, love your enemies, Jesus was telling. A person who advocated only love, boundless love, limitless love, without counting the cost, without looking at the color of the skin or the race of the person or the creed of the person, loving everybody without limit. Why was he condemned to the cross? And why are the Christians who propagate this message of love, why are they condemned? And why did Jesus promise them? In fact, if you go through the sayings of Jesus, see again and again, especially in the second part of his public ministry, reminding the disciples about the impending death and also the suffering that is awaiting the disciples. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 to 21, I read, "See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before the governors and kings because of me as a testimony to them, to the Gentiles. Verse 21. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. That is what he promises his disciples. And in chapter 16 of Matthew, verse 24 and 25, then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my follower, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. If you want to be a follower, be ready to take up the cross. Be ready to face suffering. In Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 27. Now a large crowd were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Hating the father and mother means be ready to be separated from them. Be ready to hand over your very life. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So this is the gospel tradition. In the Gospel of John, Jesus tells us, why is it that his disciples will be hated, persecuted? John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. If the world hates you, beware that it hated me before it hated you. If you belonged to the world would love you as its own. Because you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Here you have the clue of the persecution and suffering. Jesus and his disciples somehow stands as a witness to the world about its wrong ways. They stand for justice. They stand for brotherhood. They stand for equality of all human beings. In the teaching of Jesus and in the witnessing of the church, there is no distinction of caste, of race, of color, of language. Everybody is equal. There is no one who is higher and no one who is lower. Everybody is a child of God. Equally important, equally dignified, equal before God and people. So the equality of humanity is being proclaimed by Jesus and his disciples, the Christians. Again, Jesus would not allow any undue domination of one person over the other. He would not tolerate the slavery, the dominion. Jesus would say, you should not be like the Gentiles who lord it over the others, who consider their oppressors as their benefactors, but you should be considered as brothers. And if anybody wants to be the first, a leader, he should be the last of all. He has given the example of kneeling down and washing the feet of the disciples. The guru, the master, washing the feet is an unheard of a thing. The master's feet are washed by the disciples, but now Jesus turns it all upside down. The value system is toppled. There will be no more bigger or smaller. There is no more leader or led. There is no more king or subjects. All are equals. And Jesus will not allow anybody to take up arms. He said, put the sword in the sheath. Anyone who takes the sword shall perish with the sword. And how can an army function with this kind of an attitude? If the soldiers refuse to take up arms, how can they fight? And if they do not fight, how can they dominate? Jesus said, don't fight, don't dominate. You are all brothers. Be ready to give up your life. If you want to be my disciple, be ready to take up your cross, not to crucify others, but to be crucified on the cross. And they did it. In John 16, 1 and 2, I have said these things to you to keep you from stumbling. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, an hour is coming when those who kill you will think that by doing so, they are offering worship to God. So the Christians being killed is considered as a sacrifice, as it happened sometime even in our country. And we know the persecution of the Christians is on the increase in a country known for its religious tolerance, even in our land. Why are the Christians now being persecuted? Why were the Romans so much against the Christians? Not because they were violent, but because the values they stood for, the values they lived and propagated, were against the values of the empire. They did not tolerate, the Christians did not participate in idolatry. They did not participate in the entertainment activities of the Romans, that was in bloodshed, in the duels, fight in the arena, fight in the wild beasts. The Christians did not participate in the feasts, in the debaucheries, in the orgies. That was a consequence, a part of their banquets. Christians were pure of heart, and they stayed away from all these kind of entertainments and politics. The same thing happens even in our country. Wherever Christians go, they try to live the values of Christ, which propagates the unity, the equality of brotherhood, equality of people, dedication to the weak and the lowest and the lost, bringing them up through education, giving them service, making them aware of their human dignity. And in this situation, those who were the downtrodden, the untouchables, they become aware of their human dignity and they try to assert themselves. And when all these people stand up and assert their rights, those few who stood over them, who were exploiting them, are losing. People who were submerged in superstitions, people who were being exploited by unjust means, now become aware of their dignity, that they are the image and likeness of God, that they have a person, that they are being loved and treasured by God, and they are not to be kept slaves, ignorant. They learn to assert friendship, brotherhood, and their right. And by this, the upper caste, people who were exploiting, may be losing their exploit. Is it not the reason why the Christians are being persecuted? Is it not the reason why the Australian missionary Staines, with his two sons, were burned in a jeep? Is it not the reason why Sister Rani Maria was stabbed to death in a bus in the face of over 50 people? Is it not the reason why Christians are being slaughtered again and again in many places? Is it not the reason why this law, no conversion, is being so much enforced? People cannot be converted by force. People take up a decision. If you realize about your dignity and the true love of God, the change of heart will change also the society. And this change will bring in a new life, a new community. And that is what the kingdom of God looks like. The kingdom of God that Jesus brings is the kingdom of love, of unity, of brotherhood, of equality, of justice. So Jesus is telling his disciples, be ready to suffer. Be ready even to give up your life. And what are you going to get? You get God's kingdom. You realize that God is with you. God is your Father. And your death is only an entering into a new life. And this kingdom will become a reality. The more you dedicate yourself, the more you are ready to suffer and give up yourself, the sooner the kingdom will become a reality in this world. So that Jesus is telling, blessed, how happy you are when you are being persecuted for the cause of justice, for the cause of the Son of Man, when you are accused falsely. So the persecution, if it is triggered by the values of the kingdom, be happy. But otherwise, you have to be very cautious. If you are persecuted, if you are rejected because you are a wrongdoer, you have nothing to be proud about. So let us pray to the Lord to enable us to accept this situation of persecution, of misunderstanding, of rejection, for the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, open our hearts, open our eyes to understand this difficult beatitude. Your Son told us to rejoice and be glad when we are being persecuted, when we are rejected, ridiculed. Father, it is very difficult to understand. Open our hearts. Enable us to accept rejection, the conviction that by this we are becoming part of your project, of the great kingdom of God. By this we are also following the prophets and especially your Son, who loved so much the world, that you so much loved the world that you sent your only Son, that through his cross, through his death and resurrection, we may have life eternal. Father, enable us to understand in the suffering of persecution, we are participating in the suffering of Christ that brings in your rule, your kingdom into this world. We pray for those who are being persecuted. Enable to understand them the value of the suffering. Give them courage and strength to remain faithful to you and to your Son, Jesus Christ. This prayer we make through Christ our Lord. Amen.